but because of your son, Jesus. And nothing else. We can stand boldly before your throne. So God, thank you that you let us, this ragtag group of whatevers, worship you with boldness and strength. God, I pray that as we go into our time focusing on your word, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing in your sight. Amen. Amen. So, I played soccer 11 months a year from 6th grade until I graduated from college 4 years ago. 4 years ago. Here's the thing with doing anything that often. Whether you play StarCraft that much, or knit, or ride a bicycle, or anything with that kind of consistency and repetition, you're going to get good at it. Regardless of what your natural abilities are, if you are that focused and determined to do one thing, and I'm not a naturally gifted athlete, I look like this. I've always kind of looked like this, just thinner, which is not better. My freshman year of high school, I didn't play. And my sophomore year of high school, I didn't play. And my junior year of high school, I played like whenever we were up by 100, which in soccer is not that frequent. And so my ability had absolutely not nothing. It had this much to do with the success that I got to have playing soccer, that I got to do what I did my senior year and in college. I think about those days where I can just close my eyes and see it now. The goalie would take a goal. I played defense. The goalie would take a goal kick, and it would be in the air for like 6.5 hours. And then through some miracle, I would jump up in the air, and while in midair, I would look around to find a teammate and use the top of my head to turn this ball that has flown in the air for 60 yards and landed at a guy's foot. That's what happens whenever you do something 11 months a year for 10 years. If that ball were to be kicked from the back of this room right now, I could not put it in Jim Norris's lap with my head. And do you know why? Because I play soccer like once every 3 months now. And my ability is 100% related to how consistent and how faithful I am to practicing it. Do we get this? Frequency versus infrequency. I think it's like that with the Holy Spirit sometimes. When we aren't practicing keeping in step with the Spirit, I think we try to lean on our own solutions for things when God has provided something so much better. We try so hard to do it ourselves, which I like to call faking it. So here's a little background to our text tonight. The book of Galatians was written to a church in Galatia. That's a place. Galatians were people, like Ashlanders are people. And the church in Galatia were Jewish Christians. And so they believed in Jesus. That's the Christian part. And then for them, the Jewish part was they had 613 purity laws in addition to following Jesus. And what Paul's writing to them here is that, you know, we heard earlier that it is for freedom I have set you free. And so what a lot of these people were doing is they're under-embracing the freedom that Christ had given them. So we got that group. Now we've got this. Galatia, at this time period, was part of the Roman Empire. And I don't know if any of you guys are history nerds like me or got a degree in it, which if you're getting a history degree, God bless you. But I have one, and now I do this. So, but the Roman Empire was not exactly, when you close your eyes and think Roman Empire, you don't exactly think like pure pious folk. I mean, they were in a world of just general nastiness, of idolatry, of witchcraft, orgies, internet pornography, super value meals, home shopping network. You get the idea. Okay. And so some of these believers that were in this church see this world around them and go, well, Jesus has set us free. Let's get after it. There's lots of fun to be had. Let's go find it. So that group over-embracing the freedom that Christ brought them. So what does Paul do here in Galatians? He doesn't do the middle ground, which I think is everyone's tendency of like, well, this is legalism and this is debauchery, and so we'll find something in the middle. No, 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 no. What he does is he gives us something better. He gives us the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be in Galatians 5 here. Start at verse 16. If you've got one of those ancient books with pages in it, you can read from that, or you can read from a fancy screen or your iPhone. I'll trust you that you're not texting. Verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Okay, so that beginning part there, live by the Spirit. Corey Odenkirk and Joe Griffith and I took Greek, and Sarah Spinner did for like 15 minutes. No, that's not true. She did great. She was better than the rest of us. And so just to prove that I did indeed take it and that this money is somehow well spent, the Greek word there for live is actually peripetete, which doesn't really matter, but it matters this way. It means to walk, okay? And it means, the tetete part, means to walk around, to mosey, as I like to say. And I love that. Actually, a new translation actually changed it to, oh, they're changing the Bible. They changed it to walk in the Spirit. And I love that. Because it's a day-in, day-out thing. It's a walking-around thing. It's going to soccer practice every day kind of thing. Everywhere you go, you're just checking in. You're asking for directions. You're giving thanks. You're asking for forgiveness. And that's how God wants it. That's how accessible the Holy Spirit is to us in our walking around. Okay, so there's that. There's some obstacles. Like you do. So God calls us to be holy. Okay, so in Scripture, God says, be holy as I am holy. Well, that's good. Thank you. That's very helpful. I'll just be like you, God. And so how do we do that? Well, one solution is this. Rules, right? Isn't that good? Isn't that sort of what being an RA is about? No offense to RAs. My dad is a pastor, and he served at this church, and at this church in the basement, there were these rectangular folding tables that were known as utility tables. So you go downstairs, and you look at these tables, and you go, wait, those are card tables. And they say, they're not card tables because Christians don't play cards. Right? Problem solved. Good. Who here watched Barney? Remember? Okay. You remember when Barney would go looking in his Barney bag and find a lot of things like gizmos and gadgets and odds and ends? And even some old string. So one of these days on Barney, I'm too old for Barney, but I have a brother 4 years younger than me, so I'm going to use that as my excuse. But one day, for his craft, Barney made dream catchers. You know what dream catchers are? Okay. So just these little circular things with, like, twine and, like, cool little patterns in them. And so Christianity went full goose bozo. Everybody everywhere says, your kids can't watch Barney because Barney is clearly endorsing Native American spiritual cultish religion. That's a real thing. We could not watch Barney anymore because he made dream catchers as a craft. That's a real thing that happened. I went to Westminster College, which is a liberal arts school like this, except people drink more. And so every school like this, to try to get your parents to spend more money, has visitation rules about when the opposite gender can be in your building, right? Yes, we know that this exists. So at Westminster, we had this. And visitation, Sunday night through Thursday night, was 10 a.m. to midnight. Except on the weekends, Friday night and Saturday night, 24-hour visitation. Those are the real rules of Westminster College. That's how it works. So the thought process is, well, we don't want you in the opposite sex's dorm, but I mean, it's the weekend, so like, nah, let's not even worry about it. Here's what that's called. Anybody? Legalism. That's it. If our solution to a problem like this is a rule instead of a relationship with God, we're always going to find a way to mess it up. We're always going to find a way to wiggle around the rule, because it's not how God wants it. What do we find here? We have freedom from the law. I wonder how long that's been up there. That's awesome. The law, let me say this, is not intrinsically bad. In and of itself, the law is not bad. God gave it to us. He wanted us to have it. It's not that the law is bad. It's what we do with it. Okay. So in Mark 2, Jesus and his bro dogs are walking through a field, and it's Saturday, which is Sabbath, which has all kinds of rules. And so they're hungry because they've been walking, because they walked everywhere, because, I don't know, they didn't have their driver's licenses. And so they, what they're doing is they're walking through Farmer Fudd's field, and they just start picking grain heads off the top of his crop and just munching on them. And so you weren't allowed to do that on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, who were like the religious guys of the day, see this happen, and they call shenanigans on it. And so what we see in Scripture is that whenever you do that to Jesus, whenever you say, well, here's this rule that you're not supposed to do, and you guys are doing it, Jesus doesn't respond with the warm boyfriend Jesus that we like come to terms with. He gets super mad. In Matthew 23, after one of these deals, he just goes nuts on him. You know what he calls him? He calls them frauds. He calls them fakes and liars and hypocrites. It's not warm language from the God of the universe to be yelling at you. And I think I know why. When we value behavior over relationship with Jesus, it makes him mad. And do you know what else it does? It turns the world off to what we're doing here. Because it's fake. It's not what we were made for. Okay, we're free from the law. I'll just assume that you accept that. So then what? Then the next logical thought process would be, well, we're free to do whatever we want. Like the Oasis song. So, Galatians 5:19 says this. I guess I should probably open the Bible and read it, shouldn't I? I love this. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like, Just tack on whatever you want. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Isn't that a fun list? A lot is made of these lists of sins that Paul intersperses in his letters to people. And they're always different because he's writing to different people who are dealing with a different set of sins. Okay? So there's this guy named Eugene Peterson that did a translation of the Bible called The Message. And he wanted, his point behind it is he wanted us to be able to hear the Bible how those people in Galatia would have heard it as they, at their time, in their language, that they could understand. So here's what he does with this. It's obvious the kind of life that develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfying wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes, divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. That rings a little different, doesn't it? The point isn't the specific sins on the list. I think as we hear these things, we can sort of plug in our own sins for the list, can't we? The point isn't what the sins are. The point is, with the Holy Spirit, we're free from it. Romans 8, the same Paul guy, says that we're free from sin and death. Earlier in Galatians, in 4, Paul says we're no longer slaves, but sons and daughters of God. We are free from our flesh. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have freedom over our flesh. Does that mean that we don't sin anymore? Right? Nobody in here sins anymore. We know Jesus, so we're all set. No. But here's the thing. Never give in to the sin that you're struggling with, because we're promised victory. Not by our power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're sitting here thinking about a sin that's a barrier between you and God, and you're thinking, I'll never overcome this sin because I don't have the personal strength to do it, you know what? You're right. You don't have the personal strength to do it. But that's not what this says. It's not our power. It's the remarkable, confusing, miraculous power of the Holy Spirit in us. Okay. So we're not called to live under the law, and we're not called to wild, uncontrollable sin. So what are we called to? We've got these things. Galatians 5:22. But, my friend John Roundsville called these holy buts. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Isn't that better? I love that. And I flip my page over. So we're called to live in the Spirit. And we're called to bear fruit. That's what we're called to do. So here's an important point that we've got to make. Bearing fruit, doing these things, does not mean that you are in tune with the Spirit or in Christ. Because we are in tune with the Spirit and in Christ, then we are free to bear fruit. We have the freedom to bear fruit. As I said so diplomatically earlier, shoving feathers up your butt does not make you a chicken, okay? Trying really hard to be all these things does not mean that you are attentive to the Holy Spirit. Being attentive to the Holy Spirit frees you up to do these things. The direction matters. Okay, we all know people who are not followers of Jesus Christ that do some of these things, right? It's not like we have a monopoly on being good people. It's that we have the power of the Holy Spirit to minister to people through it. Okay, good things. So how do we bear fruit? I think that's a valid question. Okay, so where does real fruit come from? Real, like, you eat it fruit. Trees, good class. Now, what is required for trees to bear fruit? Just give me some things, just snap them up. Water, soil, sun, all good things. Goes down into the ground. Roots, yes. Well done, Jessica Jensen. Good. Now, how does a tree, if it has access to all these things, bear fruit? Does it try really, really hard to bear fruit? Does it think, I'm going to push out some oranges? No, this is a real question. No. It acts like a tree. It does what it was made to do. I think that so often we think that if we can just be these things, if we can just be gentle, if we can just be loving, that all of a sudden we'll feel that fulfillment of being who we were made to be. And we're getting the direction wrong. Okay. Have you ever seen a tree that has like an obstacle in the way? Okay? So like there's a tree and then there's like a big rock. Something like this. It's got an obstacle. But to be what it was made to be, it's got to grow. It's got to grow around it. And I think that we've all got obstacles that are preventing us from bearing our fruit. It's rocks like pain, like shame, like persistent disappointment, like feeling inadequate, like feeling hopeless. But here's the cool part. The Holy Spirit gets creative and bends us around these obstacles. My friend Corey Smith said this: the point isn't to appear like a healthy tree. The point is to be a healthy tree. I think these bent trees are beautiful because it shows some creativity. It shows a tree that overcame some stuff. It's a Charlie Brown Christmas tree, you know? It's got some character to it. Nobody's taking pictures of the other straight trees in the back, right? You're not looking at them. So, the Holy Spirit gets creative with us. Remember Moses? Moses was called to lead God's people out of captivity in Egypt. It took a burning bush to get his attention. Upper level stuff. Okay, so there's this guy named Jonah who was called to go prophesy in Nineveh, and he didn't want to do it. And so God swallowed him, had him swallowed up by a fish, and spit him out on the shore of Nineveh. It took a little bit. Peter was going to be the person that Jesus' church was built on, and he was just this obnoxious, loud dude. And so Jesus walked on water towards him. He got his attention. I wonder how often the things that we say, oh, put the rock up. The things that we say, well, it's not my fault. I can't bear fruit. There's a big old rock in the way. I wonder how often that's God's getting our attention. Here's the deal. You got to grow around this thing. Okay. So here's my story. Let's get pants, all right? So I've struggled with depression since I was 19 years old. A series of events at the end of my high school career and the beginning of my college career put me way behind the eight ball. And so I was just broken deeply inside, and still am in a lot of ways. And it was my obstacle. This thing became my big rock in the way. And so I had basically two ways to deal with it. One was fake it. Is that my phone? One was fake it. Fun, happy, party Billy. I think a lot of you know him, right? We've met. I can just turn that on. I can take whatever's deep and dark within me and just get rid of it for the time being and have fun and be crazy. And at the end of it, just right back down. There's number one. Then there's number two. My high school girlfriend and I broke up, which, praise him, but like, at the time it was really bad, and I just went nuts. I mean, I was drinking like five nights a week, like just running rampant. I was buried in internet pornography. I mean, those were sort of my two things that I had. And do you know who knew? Nobody. Because I covered it all up. Because I had an image to maintain. Those were the two ways that I dealt with it. And do you know what they really were? I had all of this hurt and I had all of this pain and I had to get control over it somehow. I had to have something to hold on to. Whether it was a fake personality or deep, dark sin, I had to have something that I could grip hold of. And it was a control thing. And so I struggle with this. So Renee and I were in the car, and we'd had our, like, 400th fight about the wedding or something stupid. And so I just got to the point where I said, I'm so mad about fighting and being so angry about nothing. I'm just so angry. And I just broke, and I blubbered, and I cried, and I cried, and I snotted, you know, like the good stuff, like the in-the-beard snot. If you haven't had a beard, that's like serious stuff. We're like sitting in the parking lot at Mickey D's, not doing going. We're just sitting there in the parking lot, and I'm crying, and like it's like 100 degrees in the car. I take my shirt off, and I'm using it as a tissue. Like, I'm talking about like crying, like meaning it. And do you know what that was? It was a release. It was a release of control. And do you know what happened? God met us right there. Because I let go. I can't speak for you. I don't know what your thing is. I don't know whether we can have the band come up. I always forget to do that. I don't know what your deal is. I don't know if there's some sort of sin that just has you buried and you feel like you can't get out from under it. I don't know if, because I obviously wouldn't know, I don't know if you're just faking this whole thing. I don't know. I'm an excellent liar. It's a thing that I hate about myself. But I can cover stuff up. What I'm inviting you to tonight is to release yourself of these things. Because whenever we let go of our legalism, of our consistent sin, whenever we release these obstacles, the Holy Spirit can grow around it. I pray that we could be a people that are bent, nasty, rock-filled trees that grew around what they had to bear the fruit that God created us to be. So what's going to happen is this. There are going to be people in the back that are there to pray for you behind the curtain. And if you've got something on your heart, if you've got something that you need to let go of, whether you've made your piety and your goodness an idol that separates you from God, whether you have a sin that you just aren't fighting anymore, you've just resigned yourself to it, go tell somebody. Release it. Let them pray for you. Cry till you snot in your beard. Because God meets you in those moments. Pray with me. Father God, you are so good. You are so faithful. And your solutions are so much better than ours. When we try to fake it and do it ourselves, we end up in the exact same place over and over again. It's the same stuff dressed up in different clothes. God, strip it off of us. Make us a people who can be vulnerable and open about our garbage, these things that we lug around that separate us from you. And Holy Spirit, we invite you through this time of worship and this time of prayer to come and fill us, free us up to be the beautiful bent trees you created us to be. We love you, God, and I love you guys. Amen.